Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Good morning, welcome to Between the Lines with me, Sarah Evans-Alwyn, on Sheffield Live, which is 93.2 FM. You can listen to this show on Tuesday mornings at 11 a.m. or you can tune in on the Simple Radio app. You can also catch me on Mixcloud at Revolve77 if you'd like to catch up later. So today, I hope you'll indulge me in going for a walk. I am in the Botanical Gardens. I've just walked through the Botanical Road entrance. And just to contextualise, I'm making this little programme, this little walk on the 18th of December 2023. We've just had a weekend where we've had to listen to Baroness Moan justify her heinous behaviour during COVID. It's a bit grey and it's a little bit damp, and I'm coming to a place which I feel has some restorative powers. So the Botanical Gardens is a peaceful and tidy place in Sheffield. It's had its ups and downs in history. And if you're interested to find more about it, there's a really lovely website which you can look up. Let me check my notes. It's sbg.org.uk. And there are snippets of history. There's information about the buildings that are located in the Botanical Gardens. There's interesting biographical detail about the people that have been involved in the Botanical Garden since its inception. So it was born of an idea to create an historical record of plants, be a place of peace and sanctuary for people in Sheffield. And it opened over the summer in 1836. There were a few like opening days and gala days in June and July of 1836, and reportedly 12,000 people visited on those days. I think this is remarkable given that people were charged an entrance fee to come. This was not a park that was open every day. It was open only on particular days to the general public. And as I'm walking through, I've just found myself near the bear pit. So when I first came to Sheffield, which is 28 years ago now, this the whole gardens was in a bit of a state of disrepair. But since then, certain parts of the gardens have been restored. But I remember someone taking me around and saying, look at this bear pit. And at the time, you could only see it from above. The gates to the bear pit were closed. But now I'm just entering the gates of the bear pit. And here we are. It is so cold because when the gardens first opened, They opened with a bear. So at the moment, we have a bear made of mild steel, they call it, which is appropriate for Sheffield. Mild steel, which has bronzed into what the website calls a bear brown. And this statue of a bear was made by David Main. And he's quite a cool bear, actually. So children come here and they rub his hands, and sometimes he has a hat or a scarf. But he sits here, well, he stands here, static, waiting for people to visit him. So, hello, bear. He is quite magnificent. So, yes, the website of the Botanical Gardens states that the endeavours to create a zoological as well as botanical aspect sort of failed early on in the project. So the website says, in 1839, the attempt to combine zoological with botanical exhibits was ended because, and here's a quote, the filth, stench, roaring, howling, and other annoyances incident to carnivorous animals are altogether inconsistent with the repose which is essential to a botanical garden. So there were animals in this garden, and then they were removed. And I think in the 1850s, someone gifted two bears to the botanical gardens. But this was deemed a failure because, I mean, the bear pit is not big. So the conditions must have been cruel and difficult. No RSPCA to step in at that stage, I guess. But I'm now walking past the Rose Garden, and this is a place of quiet contemplation. It's very peaceful. It's very calm. You know, the botanical garden sees most of its use, I guess, in the summertime, where people come out and they have picnics or they read or they lay about in the sunshine. This time of year, it's altogether a bit quieter, although there are the regular dog walkers. There's always squirrels. They're so tame. They come right up to you. They'll hop straight onto you if you let them. So I'm not too keen on cuddling squirrels, so I try to avoid that. But they are well fed. They're kind of, they're plump guys. They don't go hungry in the winter. And now I'm walking down to the fountain. There's a very beautiful fountain that looks like it's been there forever, but actually there was a period of time where there was a Crimean War statue, I believe, that's situated in the fountain. It wasn't used as a fountain for a long time. And this fountain was made specially, and it's a four-tier fountain. It's often not in use, though. I guess the cold, etc. You know, it sometimes ices over. And yes, it's not working today, but there it is. And as I walk around, you can hear the leaf blowers. So it's a really full-time job. It's like painting the Forth Road Bridge, keeping the leaves off the lawns. And there's a lot of work, obviously, involved in keeping the gardens nice and tidy. And you can see the gardeners tidying. There was a storm 2 weekends ago, and I believe the tops of some trees came off, and certainly most of the leaves came off in that storm. The wind was howling up here. I hadn't really ever heard anything like it. So I'm making my way up to the main pavilions. This is the these are restored. In the 1990s, they really fell into disrepair. There was so little money set aside, and it was, I think it was National Lottery funding that allowed the rebuilding or the restoration of the pavilions. And now you can go in and see those sort of more tender plants that require warmer conditions than we have currently. And there's a boiler in there, and there's some special climate control in there that means that the temperature never dips below 10 degrees. So it's an interesting place. I remember a few years ago, I walked into the pavilions, which we used to call, I used to call this with my children, the plants in the house, the conservatories. And I walked in and I was hit by a smell from childhood that I remembered from my grandmother's garden. I don't want to go all Proust on you here, but there was a jasmine plant in the pavilions that was in flower, and the smell was incredible. It really hit me, and it made me think of my childhood, if that's not too much of a cliche, and growing up in Singapore and being in my grandmother's garden and smelling this really pungent jasmine smell. And it was such a shock to me because it was like one world intruding on another. So I found that a very poignant moment. But I'm coming up to the pavilions, which were opened, I think, in the late 90s or early 2000s by the then Prince of Wales. A lot of sort of famous type people have opened various parts of the gardens over the years as they've been restored. And this is one of them. And the plan for the gardens was put out to competition in the 1830s before it was open. And one of the people that submitted to the competition was Paxton, who was working quite close by in Chatsworth. He didn't win it. It was a Scottish man called Robert Marnock who won. And he became the curator or the keeper of the gardens when it opened for some period of time. And he was involved in lots of prestigious gardens around the country. And I think that the gardens in their current form are still very much laid out according to his original plan. So it's kind of, you know, it combines traditional with some more, you know, recent plant acquisitions, I guess. It's an interesting place. It's a lovely place. Well, I've only stayed at the top half of the gardens. There's more of it down near Ecclesall Road, and it is really a peaceful place. There's a cafe. There's some public conveniences. At the top, there's a little shop. So a really calm place to come if you want to avoid the Christmas rush, as you might do on these short days where the skies are grey. You want a breath of fresh air and some peace and quiet, then the botanical gardens really are a good place to start a contemplative and restful and beautiful start to the day. Okay, I'm going to walk into town now, and I shall return when I'm closer to the cathedral. I'm just walking on Clark House Road, and if you can hear the traffic noise, you can tell that this is one of the arteries into Sheffield city centre, and it's a road that over the last 28 years I've walked down countless times. First to university, then into town for shopping and for various other little endeavours. And on Clark House Road we have the King Edward's Upper School and the King Edward's Swimming Baths, another beloved place of mine. The swimming baths have also had quite a checkered history, and currently closed for the Christmas break, reopening on the 8th of January, and I dare say I'll be back there that week. A very old-fashioned swimming baths in need of some TLC, shall we say. And I've just walked past the Pilates, whatever it is, shop, Pilates class place on Clarkhouse Road, and observed a woman almost casually killing a group of about 8 other women as she pulls into her parking space in order to, no doubt, undertake her Pilates class. I always find these small events cheering and, in a perverse way, reaffirming a sort of ironic joy at mundane events. No one was hurt in the recording of this program, and all the women walking and driving have come through the experience unscathed. Anyway, I will rejoin you when I am safely in town. It's Sarah Evans-Alwyn, and I'm recording a programme of Between the Lines for Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I'm in the Sheffield Cathedral now, and I've just stopped by a tree where there is a sign which encourages people to write or draw a prayer onto a tag and attach it to the tree. There's many trees, Christmas trees, in the cathedral, artificial and real. And I'm reading some of the prayers on the tree, and some of them are painfully hopeful, poignant. Many request reunion with family. Some request for pain-free recovery of relatives. Some exhort you to vote Labour. One says, please make 2024 better than 2023, God. They're written in many different languages. There are drawings by children. It is a very moving sight to see all these gift tags on the tree. I'm in a quiet part of the cathedral, and this place is filled with history too. The website, which is quite interesting, says that there's been Christian worship here since the Norman times. The website, if you're interested, is called sheffieldcathedral.org. And it claims that the Sheffield Cathedral is the oldest building in Sheffield still in daily use. There's a Saxton cross in the British Museum that was recovered from this site, and it dates from the 9th century. And it is evidence of Christian worship on this site. And in more recent times, part of the cathedral was damaged mildly in what was known as the Sheffield Blitz in December 1940, where there were two nights over the 12th and 15th of that December where there was heavy bombing in Sheffield. Much of the city centre was destroyed, and the cathedral got off extremely lightly, actually. So this is a place that I've been visiting since I first came to Sheffield, and you know, as I walk through here, you know, close to Christmas, it's probably the busiest it gets during the day at this time of year. And now I'm walking into the crypt. This is another extremely quiet part of the cathedral, and it's a place where you can come and sit and think. There is a cafe upstairs. There are many people in the cafe. It's a warm place. And in town, it's a place where you can kind of escape from the crazy consumerism, the desperate Christmas vibe that's going on in the festive markets
and in the shops in the beleaguered Fargate and the moor. And I think about, you know, the adage about the opiate of the masses, religion being the opiate of the masses, and I wonder if now shopping has become the opiate of the masses. Certainly for me, it's been a place where I used to come quite a lot, not for services, but in the daytime, just to sit and find sanctuary and peace. I'm not one of these people that really subscribes to this idea of mindfulness exactly, but as I've gotten a little older, I guess I've thought more carefully about the idea of finding somewhere peaceful and finding sanctuary somewhere. Okay, I'll stop here for now. I'm outside the cathedral now, and I'm struck by this idea. I've just talked about, escaping the consumerist sort of push from the city centre and the shops, and really, actually, in the cathedral, we also get funneled through to the gift shop, where we're encouraged to look at Sheffield-related tat. I know why they have to do it, but all the same, it is one of these things, isn't it, spending time in the gift shop. I suppose the cathedral has had to survive and move with the times as everywhere else has. So I'm in the Cathedral Square, they call it, and this is where the trams come. And town is looking really grey today. There are some shoppers out and about. There are women pushing pushchairs. I'm just reminded that, people say, oh, be kind to yourself, you know, give yourself some space and some time. And I think to some extent that's important. And it's important to, you know, find ways to treat yourselves. I just wonder if it's all just a push to buy more things, to accumulate more stuff. And I'm guilty of it, that's for sure. Also, I have a general cynicism about these exhortations around this time of year to be kind to yourself when the days are getting shorter. I think some people are far too kind to themselves. I'm just thinking of Matt Hancock and Boris Johnson and Michelle Moan. I think they should be a bit meaner to themselves. But those are my dark thoughts on a grey morning. And as I see the pigeons fly circling round Cathedral Square and onto the shopping area of Fargate, which actually has been decimated because they're doing some kind of regeneration. I don't know how many times they need to regenerate Fargate before they realise it's maybe a lost cause and that the high street is truly dying. But as I look around, I have to remind myself that this is actually a time of year when we should try and be hopeful and look to the future. And you know, as the little gift tag on the artificial tree in the Chapel of the Holy Spirit in Sheffield Cathedral tells us, perhaps 2024 will be a little brighter, a little better than 2023. And I suppose with that, I might leave you here and I might go and get a coffee. So, you've been listening to me, Sarah Evans-Olwyn. I've been on Sheffield Live. This programme is Between the Lines. You can catch it on Sheffield Live or you can catch it on the Simple Radio app. It should go out on Boxing Day, all things being equal. I hope you've had a good Christmas and I will have more programmes for you in the new year. Take care.
the sun has gone astray. Tomorrow's cares are many dreams away. The stars are flying, your candle's dying. Yield up the darkness to old John.
Thank you. when Venezuela and bongs up a Dulce Maria. Ah, when Venezuela and bongs up a Dulce Maria. Yo te amo a big and to uha. Y adora mi querida Conchita. En un momento I entered her casino. And in romance and some Spanish calypso. Bembeteo, bembeteo. Bembeteo, masa caramba. Bembeteo, bembeteo. Bembete, bonita María. Bembeteo, bembeteo. Bembete, no más. Entered a battle, she started to diddle-daddle, and in the uprising, in her lengua we started quarreling. Yo usted está mucho robusto, le responde no a más botioso. Esta verdad yo no tengo dinero, pero yo puedo dar satisfecho. Bembete, oh bembete, bembete no marcha pa'lanta. Bembete, bembete, bembete bonita María. Bembete, oh bembete, bembete no más. Entered a casa and was delighted with Olympia Kama. And then she said, Leon, then a cat, she could touch me corazón. She then displayed her violoncello, which naturally got me more amoroso. I lost my hair and my ojo got rojo. She said, mi amor, you look tempestuoso. Bembete, oh, bembete, bembete, bonita María. Bembe, whoop, me voy, bembete, no más. Ah, caramba, bembete, oh, bembete, bembete, no más. Chita Chichita is my dancing and romancing partner. We dance de la conga and waste away, swash away in the rumba. When we accelerate in caliente, emotions could match my temperament. When I ask her to dame visita, she served me me vino with poco de agua. Bembete, oh bembete, bembete bonita María. Bembete, oh bembete, bembete no más.
Love of Miss Brown. llego a la capital.
This is Matt Elders from Arctic Monkeys. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
akubukizwe lonke
mama nabo bejabenyula bezofuna thina shiya wo 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 akusenani
Ushiya wo asenani
Sabonana emhlabeni madoda
Sabonana kuhlangana khona umtshesi nomtshesana Sabona,
Afike bazichoma
kumalunda kumachoma shiya wo 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 akusenani
hayi kanyisa nkosi
kwela kithi nambi thi
Dig a thousand holes to lay next to you. I would dig a thousand more if I needed to. I look around the grave for an escape route of old routine. There doesn't seem to be any other way. And I've started falling apart, I'm not savoring life. I've forgotten how good it could be to feel alive. As low as you feel right now. started falling apart. I'm not savoring life. I've forgotten how good it could be to feel alive. And I started falling apart. I'm not savoring life.
Take a piece of the sky.
I've forgotten how good it could be to feel alive.
Take the pieces and build them skywards.
And
take the pieces and build them skywards.
Take the pieces and
build them skywards.
Take the pieces and build them up to the sky.
Tumbadora, a Sarorí, en el Óvile, saco en la tumbadora. I am a